Cinda.
How are you?
Very well. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Excellent. Did you have an art-filled week?
Ish.
Yeah?
We had a busy week. Thursday night, a coworker and I went up to Next Fab.
Oh, how was that?
We saw Henry Merker's exhibit, and it was like a collection of a handful of pieces all made from cork, and they were all lamps. These were the bougiest lamps you had ever seen.
Oh,
they were beautiful.
I love a bougie lamp. I mean, any type
who
of like
doesn't right? love a bougie lamp yes. is the question. I think Katie from the Museum for Art and Wood mentioned Henry Merker was awarded the 2025 Winter Fellowship.
Oh, right.
So
yes.
this was also a kind of project within that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know Katie certainly mentioned that cork is a form of wood.
And a recycling of wood.
Yes, indeed. While I was there, I also saw Katie herself, as well as Nava.
Oh,
great. I also saw Sam. And I saw Colin, Sam's
partner.
We're going to have Colin on in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a project, again, with the Museum for Art and Wood. I would say that maybe they are the sun in the universe. It's coming to that.
Yeah.
Our podcast, Philly Has Art, is just a little asteroid in that universe.
Making our
shooting
way
around.
Shooting through.
Wayward.
Hopefully not making destruction.
Crash into anything. Yes. Armageddon over here.
Yes.
So other than checking out Next Fab, which the space is insane. It's like a maker space.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So there's multiple makers within it.
So many makers. Also a Mexican restaurant.
No way.
Yeah. I also popped into Bridget Meyer's gallery yesterday.
Okay.
And I checked out The Vault, which right now is featuring art from, I think he's DC-based, Alan Bentley. And the subject is dance. There's a lot of ballroom dance, but he also features ballerinas, like more classical dancers in his work. It was really beautiful. Now, The Vault, it's actually that inset. Do you remember when we went
yes.
during the PAFA show and
yes.
there was that inset where they were keeping the alcohol?
Oh.
That is where The Vault is. And it's like a really nice way to show off another artist while giving the primary artist proper attention. I also went to Locke's gallery.
Really?
So intimidating.
What did they have there?
A series of charcoals that were in the $8,000 to $25,000 range.
Ooh.
Yeah, I took a picture of the door with private written on it and called it a Jeff Koons on Stories.
That's nice. That is nice.
Okay, before we get into trouble with anybody, let's get to our conversation, eh?
Excellent. Sounds great. Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibitions, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerlin.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Josh A. Campbell of Philadelphia Theater Company. We're so happy to have you today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes. So Josh, tell us a little bit about Philadelphia Theater Company origin story.
Great question. I could say I can only speak to the last maybe 30 years.
Perfect.
But Philadelphia Theater Company has been in Philadelphia for about 50 years, so we're currently in our 50th anniversary season.
Wow. That's...
From my understanding, it started with Rob Headley, who was a theater actor and director, and he got together with a group of actors and students to put on new works and works derivative of Shakespeare. And from there, the company has blossomed and grown under the leadership of Sarah Garoznick. She made a Philly story. We were doing new work by some of America's promising playwrights. We were doing reimagined classic work and works by women and people of color, especially at a time in which Philadelphia wasn't doing these kind of stories. So whether you were LGBTQIA, Black, Latino, Asian American, we started doing new work, and we have everything from new play festivals to opportunities for the audience to engage with the playwrights actually this close, as close we are in conversation right now.
Oh, that's great.
And so from there, we've continued that work of producing work that was on Broadway. So Philly had an opportunity. You didn't have to worry about going to New York to see that play.
Right.
It was going to come to Philadelphia for you to experience. And really opening the doors around accessibility as well. We partnered extensively over our time with ArtReach so that folks of different abilities and backgrounds could have experiences up close to theater, whether it was doing sensory tours, getting a chance to see the props and the costumes and the lighting beforehand. From there, we're now in our 50th season, still doing new work, brave work under the leadership of co-artistic directors Tyler Dabrowski and Tabby McGar. This season, what I could say, we just actually wrapped up our production of Nightside Songs, which was a musical about cancer. So when you think about musical and cancer, you're probably like, how does that work?
Right? Who's bringing them together?
So written by Daniel Patrick Lazor, it was a musical for caregivers, and it allowed the audience to come together and think about their relationship to illness and wellness and their journey. So it was following Yasmin as she is navigating her cancer diagnosis. We spend a lot of time dealing with her in remission, which is new for those type of stories. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at her getting married. We're looking at her and her mom navigating their relationship and what it means to let go and move parents in. And so the way it would work is that the actors would actually teach the audience the songs. So you will learn the melody. You will learn the harmony and the different rhythms, and then you would sing with them, so it became a space of communal healing.
Oh, beautiful interaction.
And so what was so beautiful about this is that we were able to do a two-week tour throughout Philadelphia. So we took it to all the hospitals. So staff and folks who were battling or in remission were able to see the show. We took it to libraries and community centers. So we did that for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was magical. And then
how immersive.
Immersive.
Like, it's the best bring way to put it. Into the community where yes. they are, meet them where they are.
Literally. Yeah, that's where we are at 50th season. So to sum up PTC in a nutshell,
yes.
we do new work, world premieres that no one has ever seen, heard, or produced. We do emerging artists, those who have had their first productions or looking to expand their productions. And we do musicals. We love a good song and dance and story about love and community. And we do work that is for the community. That is the new vision for year 50 moving forward, is thinking about the ways in which we can invite the community in to experience and literally open the doors.
How many productions a year do you normally do?
It changes.
Okay.
I'll say for this season, we have 3 productions. We're prepping for production number 3, which is Small Ball, which actually is a really tender musical that blends Michael Jordan's love of basketball with Gulliver Travels. Really, at the heart of it, it's about how do we as a community learn to embrace and adapt each other despite our differences. So Michael Jordan, he's 6 foot something, and he's afraid to pass the ball to the Lilliputians because they're so tiny. And so the musical is about them working through their differences As a community.
What
I know.
What a unique story.
I'm going to link that in the show notes.
Yes. Yes. You know, look, it took me a while to be like, all right, what is this show? And I watched it once or twice, and I read the script, and I just laughed out loud. Yes. And just was like, this is heartwarming, especially at a time in our current political climate where we need a little bit more laugh and little bit more community.
Right.
And a lot more joy.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a core cast, or is the cast consistently changing as the shows change?
Consistently changing. So my work really lies at the intersection of artistic. So Tyler and Taby get to choose the script, and I get to say, great, how are the different ways in which we invite audience and community in? So that's everything from after-school classes and programs to when the show happens. I've started developing robust programming. So we do a community night out. We do a Black theater night out so that those audiences can have opportunity to experience theater and deepen their engagement. I do pre-show talks. So for our first show, the season La Egoista, I was fortunate enough to actually bring in two stand-up comics to teach comedy, because the show itself had several stand-up comic routines.
Oh, that's
so I got to teach the audience, like, here's some foundational things, and now we're going to let a comic do so you can prepare you for the show.
Yes.
Because that's not my forte. I'm funny, but I'm not stand-up comic funny. Yes. And so those are the kind of things we do in my department in community engagement and public programs and outreach.
And do you do any, like, student work as well?
We're starting to. We had a history where we would do in-school residencies where we would partner with schools. And you have a teaching artist for up to 12 weeks, and students will write an original 12-minute, 10-minute play that they would then perform on stage.
Wow.
And so now I have the added opportunity of not only having seen it when I was at PTC previously, but also thinking about the ways in which we can now do that in this post-COVID.
Yes.
Right? Because that, you know, education landscape has changed dramatically.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always thinking about the different ways in which we can invite young people to participate. So this season, we have relaunched our student matinee series. So we've been able to actually do for Nice Out Songs in that show. We did 3 student matinees, which was new for us as a team. And so we were able to do that successfully, and all those students had a wonderful time.
That's great.
And so future plans, which include after-school classes. My first class will probably be March, I believe, 25th, so that students can come to the theater. We have the best and affordable classes. My focus as an educator really is centered on what are the most dynamic ways in which we can tell our stories. Mm-hmm. So we have everything from singer-songwriters, like how do you compose the next pop hit for a Broadway musical, to writing hip-hop theater. We know hip-hop is in the culture as they've just been celebrating their 50th anniversary. So how do we write plays that involve hip-hop aesthetics, to costume design, sound design? Because there's some students who, they're like, I don't want to get on stage.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And so
not for them.
Not for them, right?
But there are multiple facets that go into all of the production.
All the production.
Yep.
So teaching them the ways in which they can participate and do that work as well. And also, we love songs. You know, PTC is a musical. It's a house of a musical. And so how do we teach them how to even be able to sing background vocals? And how do you look at a musical theater scene and be able to make decisions about your character? What are they feeling? And then how does that even work in an ensemble? So in thinking about all of the things that Philly School District does and is doing, thinking about my own experiences, I have over 14 years experience teaching in Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore, the DMV, Northeast Corridor, Amtrak.
I spent 8 years in D.C.
Yes! Shout out to D.C. So yeah, really looking at all of those different things that students are really excited about. Like, what does it mean for us to say we're going to do a Wicked sing-along?
Right.
Right? We know those things get folks excited. So that's what I get to sit and plan and curate.
Excellent. Yeah. Josh, could you tell us more about your Philadelphia Theater Company journey?
Oh, yes. We started talking about this earlier. PTC launched my arts education journey. The director of education at the time, Maureen Sweeney, she had a class, so it was like Theater for Young Audiences. So we did a production of Jackie Goldfinger. She is a Philadelphia legend as a playwright. her production, Little Women, so I had to learn, like, what is theater for young audiences. And we actually had, UArts had a student matinee. I don't think they've ever done it before or since.
It's safe to say that they're not going to do it again.
From there, I was a camp counselor, and then I was an intern, so I spent a lot of time in the education department learning everything from how do you develop Braille programs and large print programs to what does it mean to do an audio describe performance and open captioning, what are those needs. I think I spent about 2.5 to 3 years working there. So I worked in company management. So I got to see how do we take care of actors and also do contracting. How do we fundraise? What does it mean to put a season together? So it really was a masterclass in how does theater work and operate.
Right.
I left there. I went to McCarter Theater. Spent about 7-8 years freelancing, doing everything. So my background is multidisciplinary. So I spent some time working at a music venue, running education programming, a film company. And so Tyler and Taby gave me an opportunity to come back home 10 years later to be a director. So I actually started 10 years to the day that I first was introduced to PTC.
Oh, wow, Josh.
So full circle moment. Yes, I know. Is. Homecoming.
Yes, it is. Yes,
you know, I guess it's the season. You know, we just had Venus in retrograde or something.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's my journey with PTC. So I've been in this role for about 8 months, and it's been an incredible joy.
Yes.
To come back and relearn what I thought I knew.
Mm-hmm.
With a completely different audience and just imagining what the future could be.
Josh, it's great to see that, you know, you have allowed art to run deep.
Run deep.
Within you, and then also be able to share that with others.
Yeah.
And allow them the accessibility to learn art and be able to enjoy art. And allow artists to share that as well.
Yeah.
And create space for it to continue to be shared, which is great. You need each of that. You know, as we continue to speak with different parts of the artist world, we need to make sure that we continue to support not only the artists themselves, but the people that create the space.
Yeah.
For the artists. Mm-hmm. To then be able to share their art with others. And so the work that you're doing is incredible.
I appreciate that.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's the new vision of PTC. So if I had to give an elevator pitch for Philadelphia right. Theater Company, it's really centered around community and really now more than ever creating space for authentic community. I don't want to say work because everyone that work mm-hmm. that word is so general, but really create space for authentic community exchange.
Ooh, I like that.
Not only do we want you to come in, but we want you to feel welcomed and we want you to come back.
Yeah.
Or even if it's just that one time that you're coming to visit us, because we know subscription and people's desire to want to engage changes based off of life and circumstance. We really want to make sure that whenever you decide to come through those doors, that we have something for you. We have something that allows you to connect that feels personal.
Yeah.
And something that will stay with you.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's the exchange.
Yeah. Beautiful.
An invitation. I think that's
yeah.
the best way to describe it. So we do new work, classic work, musicals, centered around community exchange and stories.
Josh, does Philadelphia Theater Company have a brick and mortar?
Yes. We're located at the Suzanne Roberts Theater, so most folks get this confused.
Yes.
Suzanne Roberts Theater is not the name of PTC,
yep.
but it is the name of the building. Mm-hmm. And so we're located right there on Broad and Lombard, so it's easy accessible on the Broad Street line. You get off at Lombard South, mm-hmm. and you get off at the Lombard exit. It puts you across the street or across the street.
Excellent.
From PTC and Suzanne Roberts Theater. So it's 480 South Broad Street.
Before
look at me.
To...
I knew all of the addresses.
I know.
Who knew?
That was great.
That was growth. Okay.
Before we got into rapid fire questions, was there anything else you wanted to share about Philadelphia Theater Company?
Yes. I just want to plug our upcoming show, Small Ball. The run of Small Ball begins June 6th through June 29th, 2025, and we'll be announcing some of our public programming for that. In addition, as I said, with after school classes, we also are offering a spring break intensive.
Oh, tell us more about that.
It's 5 days throughout spring break. And what I love about it is that each day is something different. So kids can sign up for the whole week, or they can sign up for one day. So it's everything from acting to sound design to building your musical theater book to musical theater songwriting and composition.
Excellent.
And what age, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's a great question.
Yep.
Is this targeting?
Middle and high school.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Unfortunately, our space isn't kid-friendly at the moment. We're working on that. And so one of the other initiatives that we've been piloting, particularly with each production, is doing like a childcare matinee.
Okay.
In which parents can see the show, and there's some programming for their littles that'll happen throughout so that it becomes a whole experience for the family.
Are you expecting to have any summer programming this year?
We are hoping to. Again, one-off events right now. The calendar gets a little crazy.
Oh, yes.
So between my start date yes. and now, the calendar has gotten a lot crazy.
Yes. If you could describe the Philly art world in one word, what would it be?
Renaissance. It's in the middle of a renaissance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you could see one live production of performance art in its original form, what would it be?
That is a good question. Actually, I'm gonna pivot this answer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm gonna focus on Philly. I would love to see a play that is so Philly it hurts, have multiple different playwrights writing about the same event but through their lens and identity. That's what I would want to see.
Excellent.
Because I think Philly is a home of new work, and this is just me as a playwright and being like, we need different stuff.
Right.
We need more playwriting opportunities. That's what I would love to see. Like, if it was something crazy, like, I want you to write about where you were when the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
That'd be great.
You know, like writing about what that was for you. That's what I would love to see.
It would bring everyone together.
It would bring everyone together, because yes. I think that's what we need the most now.
They each have their own story, too.
Each have their own story, yeah.
Right?
That's what I would love to see. Old stuff, we got that. We archive it.
Yes. Bring us home, you know? We want to relive that over and over again.
Absolutely.
Next year.
Okay.
Like a current artist that people are sleeping on.
Now, what medium are we talking?
Whatever one you want.
I would say myself, but that's not...
That's okay. That's all right. We could be, Josh.
You know what? I would say myself. I think... Well, I'll say an organization, because I do a lot of community work. Organization I think people need to pay more attention to is the Asian Arts Initiative. Their work and programming has even inspired and pushed me to think about the ways in which art and community can intersect.
Mm-hmm.
Also... would say PTC, clearly, because I work there. But I think the work, especially with Nice Size Songs,
mm-hmm.
I think that kind of work is needed. And I think folks are craving that kind of communal experience. And then I also want to uplift Project 440 as a music education community organization. I think that they do incredible work with students, getting them to think about how music can intersect with community and community engagement.
What does 440 do?
Project 440 is an amazing organization where they get kids ready for college.
Okay.
So they spend half a semester or half a year going through a program around financial literacy and planning for college. And then the other half really centered on music and entrepreneurship.
Wow. Okay.
So they get to pitch a project that they get funding for.
Oh, that's great.
And then the last one I'm all about, like, connecting is Opera Philadelphia.
Love
I get a chance to partner with them extensively through PTC. Shout out to Veronica Chapman-Smith and Abby Weissman. They prepare students for technical careers in the arts. So they're learning carpentry. They're learning financial literacy. They're learning wellness. They're learning costume design, hair, makeup. And their community engagement work and initiatives, that really inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a phenomenal partner, and those students really are some of the best and brightest, and I'm always thinking about how do we keep them engaged.
Yeah.
So if Josh had to be on his teacher and social justice platform, it's like, we need more pipelines.
Yes.
Like that from high school to college. So that really puts the emphasis on the Temples and the Swarthmores and the Drexels and the Penns to do your work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To partner and to find the money, because we know that these things are where they are.
Yes.
Right. To really make sure that these students stay, because Philly as an art community and as a community is very transient.
Yes.
We know this.
Correct.
So we need to think about ways in which we keep and retain talent.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's what I would say about Opera Philadelphia. They're really, and all of those other companies that I mentioned, are really at the forefront of, for me, creative youth development and doing interesting work that really is about bringing the arts to kids and also teaching them the practicality and the life that you have to live.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Last one, what is your favorite beverage of the moment?
I am really, and I've never been this person, but Minute Maid has this zero sugar, like fruit punch and mango pineapple. And it just goes great with everything.
Perfect.
Love it.
So that would be my beverage, yeah.
Josh, where can, other than your brick and mortar, where can our audience find Philadelphia Theater Company?
You can follow us on Facebook. So on Instagram, we are Phila Theater Co. So that's P-H-I-L-A-T-H-E-A-T-R-E Co. And you can also email us at philadelphiatheatercompany.org. If you have any questions about education, you can email me either at jcampbell@philatheatre.org or education@philatheatreco.org. Feel free to engage with us that way. We answer DMs on social media, so if you have questions about anything, a member of our team will be able to respond to you, and we respond promptly to emails.
Josh, I did want to ask, do you have any subscriptions people can join for Philadelphia Theater Company? Do you have membership programs?
Yes.
Do you have membership subscriptions, or do you have some type of membership society that people can join?
Absolutely. We're close to announcing our next season. Next season is definitely shaping up to be one for the books. It's definitely going to be a dynamic season, really focused on community.
Lovely.
As I say, yes, community is the theme I think I've woven throughout most of this.
Yes.
So we're really going to be focusing on community and welcoming community in.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
And thank you to the Philadelphia Theater Company for joining us today. Hey, Lucinda.
What are you getting into this weekend?
This is another packed weekend for us.
Aren't they
packed
all?
Weekend. Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't think there's enough art this weekend.
Are you sure?
No,
I mean, we're diving into a lot of performance and a lot of non-performance art.
Non-performance? Well, yeah. It's a party supporting.
I mean, it's a great fundraiser.
Okay, let's break it down.
Yeah, okay.
Friday night,
so
what are we doing?
Friday night, we're kicking off the art with our absolute favorite, Philadelphia Ballet.
Again.
Bolero.
Back-to-back productions.
Oh, yeah.
That's challenging for them.
Yes, it's very challenging for them, but they're also, like, in their 20s and the best shape of their lives. And they're going from what we would say of a classical piece to what is my favorite is probably a triple bill contemporary pieces that are going to be incredible.
Okay, did I tell you the story about my Bolero tickets?
No.
Okay, so I originally had...
She did it again, guys.
Bolero tickets for Saturday night. And then you talked me into going to a different thing on Saturday night. We will touch base on that in just a moment. I moved my tickets to matinee for Saturday.
Yep.
Forgetting that my son's birthday party
your own,
that I planned
your own
back in November.
Child.
I had to book the venue back in November because it's so popular.
Yes.
Forgot about it.
Yes.
And then I was looking at my calendar and was like, oh dear.
Oh dear.
So then I got my Bolero tickets moved to Friday.
Friday night.
A shout out to Emily, the gifts officer at the Philadelphia Ballet, for making this happen for me.
She had to do the same for me. I had tickets for opening night on Thursday. Mm. I have a work event. So I had to move my tickets from Thursday to Friday.
She loves us.
She must.
I was being sarcastic.
A great plug for the Young Friends program at the Philadelphia Ballet.
What are you doing on Saturday?
So Saturday, I'll most likely be going to a kid's birthday party. And then...
Yeah, we need to know if you're coming to that because the RSVPs are closing down tomorrow.
Okay. I'll probably be making an appearance at a kid's birthday party. Party of one.
Can you wear a dinosaur costume?
That's debatable.
I have the costume.
Probably not. And then I'll be going back to the Burbs to get into our artistic wardrobe for Philadelphia Museum of Art's Young Friend fundraiser, Artish. This is probably the greatest art party of the city. It's going to be, or has been in the past, around 1,000 guests coming together to support the Philadelphia Museum of Art and local artists that the museum brings all together with the Young Friends of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. It has grown over the years.
When was the first Artish?
The first Artish, I want to say, was maybe 6 years ago. I think it was rebranded to Artish.
Okay.
You know, the Young Friends of the Philadelphia Museum of Art was really where I was introduced to the art world of Philadelphia. And it was a great dynamic group of young professionals that joined together to put a fundraiser together. And it originally started as like a black tie sit-down dinner. And that was the event every year. And so it was just like a younger person's gala. Hmm. And then you had access after hours to the art. And that there was a dance party and that was it. Now it is totally transformed. There was a theme that was added. There was months and months of planning that goes into this. And now it really focuses in on highlighting local artists in the best ways possible. It's a multi-level artist event that basically pulls you through the art museum while also highlighting new and emerging artists as you kind of work your way through the entire museum. It's going to be this Saturday, March 22nd. It starts at 8 o'clock p.m. through midnight. It has sold out mostly every single year. So if you have not gotten your tickets yet, if this is going to come out on Wednesday, you need to get your tickets as soon as possible. Tickets for Young Friends and artist members of the museum are $65, and they're $150 for everyone else. So it's definitely worth it should you want to just become a Young Friends member of the art museum.
And that's what I did. I renewed my membership.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Have you bought your ticket yet, Robert?
I will do it today.
I'll do it today.
There is a lot of immersive art that you can take part in.
With you?
Sure. Sure. Yes. And then their gallery space is also open. So if you also need a break from the party and you just want to check out the art, you kind of have some like exclusive time with the art at night. Fancy drab.
No kids.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Oh, I'm going to stunt. Paillette sequins are involved.
Very nice.
What are you wearing?
I might whip out this like leopard print silk number.
Okay.
Yeah. What about your husband?
My husband doesn't really know this yet, but I bought him a shirt that is giving dad brat spring.
Ooh. We'll have some great conversations about what we ran into.
Next week. Okay, so other things that are available to do. Katie Hudnall's exhibit is still at the Museum for Art and Wood. It is fantastic. Go visit it. the Da Vinci Art Alliance still has the female gaze on exhibit as well.
I would also say, you know, we had such great reception from Meg's episode, and really just look up as you walk the streets of Philadelphia and check out the murals and the street.
Are you noticing it everywhere now?
Everywhere I go, everywhere. And so we're truly lucky to see the art on buildings of Philadelphia. And, you know, as always, Philly has heart.
And art.
I love you.